This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll load. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some in the end.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm Damon Bolte.
My name is Souther Teague.
Souther, what's going on, man?
Not too much, buddy. What a great week this has been.
Dude, the sun is out.
The sun is out. The weather is beautiful. Brooklyn is awesome, filled with beautiful people today, eating pizza.
Eating pizza all over the place.
At the awesome Roberta's.
Yeah, man. Dude, is your book out yet?
Out? No, but done. Yes, in fact.
Did you get the final finalized?
Well, final? My editor texted me today that I have literally one little tiny thing to get done. He said, actually, as soon as I can. I said, well, I'm going.
He was like, yeah, you need to put more Damon's cocktails in there.
Yeah. I said, well, I'm going on air. I said, thanks. So I'm going on air right now, but he's like, okay, I can't wait much longer. So I have to, as soon as we're done here, I have to go write a little piece, but then it's done.
Well, I hope you don't rush the show because we have a really great guest today.
I'm not going to rush the show. The show is as long as the show is.
Did you replace that photo yet, or is it still going to be Chris Lauder?
It's going to be Chris Lauder for all the guest bartenders. Did I tell you about that? I went into the, when they had the book on the wall, each page on this giant wall, and I have 10 guest bartenders in the book who submitted a recipe, and, you know, it's like Frankie Marshall and Dale DeGroff and Gary Regan, and they had a little circle with their photos in it, like a profile photo that they were all supposed to send us. But none of them had sent their photos yet, so they had just gone on the internet and found a bartender and slapped his picture in there to hold the space. It was Chris Lauder. I was like, where did you get this picture of like one of my best friends? And they're like, oh, just found it on the internet.
Do you remember that time?
He's archetypal bartender face, you know? I don't know.
Dude, do you remember that time when the Colbert Report?
Oh, Frankie Cocktails. I know exactly what you're talking about.
They were like some hipster bartender from Brooklyn. Frank Cisneros. Yeah. He just like pulled it from the internet. It was great.
The best. Anyway, what a great week. I saw you on Sunday at Nightcap. We went over there as we promised we would. We went over and did disco karaoke with Natasha David and Lauren Carvo. What a good time as I remember.
I had two vodka sodas. That's what kind of party it was.
There were vodka sodas and there were blue drinks, too.
I had a blue drink.
I don't know what that was, but
I sang some songs,
my buddy Todd texted me the next day because I took him with his birthday. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He texted me the next day and goes, it was the blue drinks that did me in.
It always is, man.
And also, he was like, I can't believe they were giving those away for free. And I was like, Dad, I was paying for all your drinks. He was convinced that they were just giving away blue drinks.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, how's your week been since Sunday?
I mean, great. Had a really great night at the bar. You know what? Okay, so this kind of weather does bring out the best people, you know?
It does.
We had so many good, like, friends and family, like, industry people all out last night at Grand Army, and it was great. Three people come up to me at the bar who I had not met, and they came up and introduced themselves and said, we love listening to the radio show, and
I love that.
That was great. So I ended up having more shots of Fernet with strangers than I thought I would on a Tuesday night, but that's great.
That is great. It's medicine.
Yeah, man. And it's just great that people out there are listening to the show, and everyone I meet, and I'm sure the same with you, that we meet that like the show, they're just all very, very nice people.
It is true. So. We have a lot of nice listeners. Yeah. And they come forward. And I appreciate it. Like, I want you to come forward.
Yeah. And
come,
we have these nice gifts in the studio for our bar. We got like cutting boards. Thanks.
Cutting boards, thanks, knives, Sarah. Jiggers, plenty of booze.
We got some shot glasses today. Actually, our guest today brought some shot glasses.
That's right.
And actually, why don't you go ahead and introduce our guest.
Today in the studio, we have Melly Wasserma. Who, again, I talked to you last night. I was like, for years I had her in my phone as Melly Wasserman. I thought it was Wasserman. I know
it's
Greg
only
Wasserman.
Rachel and I were related.
I know Rachel Wasserman. I know Greg Wasserman. I know Melly Wasserman. No?
No.
Wasserma. I changed it. I updated it. Melly Wassmer, you're the what's your title now over at Extra Fancy?
I guess I'm the bar manager.
You guess?
Yes. I feel like I'm like the central ringer of the dings. I don't know. Ringer of the dings. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I do the things where I order stuff and I hang out with the guys and still make drinks.
Okay, cool. And how long have you been over there?
Since last August, so coming up on a year.
And this is a recent step up in position, though.
Yes,
right?
This happened about a month ago. We got into conversations one afternoon, and they asked me if I would want to do it, and I said, I guess so. Why not? I'm bored. I'm bored just bartending. Not true.
You're doing something wrong if you're bored.
Exactly.
So the last time we talked about Extra Fancy on the show was a few years back, and it was with Rob Kruger. Mm-hmm. There have a lot of things have changed with Extra Fancy over those years. The backyard has grown.
It's huge.
Exponentially.
Yeah. Massive.
There's another bar back there. You've got like, 10 fucking frozen drink machines?
Yeah,
we're
currently running like 4 of the frozens, but we're going to have 8 coming in, but starting, I'm guessing, this week. We've already been developing.
Yeah. I mean, we've been throwing a lot of 90 parties. Degrees today, so I guess.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So we're just going to skip right past spring and go right into summer.
Right into summer. Lots of frozens, doing lots of fun new things with frozens, trying to get a little more creative. And
we have some froze.
We have a spritz list happening. We do have the froze lemonade. The froze lemonade is all Rob Kruger, and it's always going to be the forever and ever.
Are you going to do some Friesling?
Some Friesling? Maybe.
That's the new shit.
That's the new shit.
You got to get over froze. Friesling's the new thing.
Fucking dope.
Because don't we have like the summer of Riesling is a thing, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, so. Summer of Riesling. So we may as well have some Friesling. I'll check in on that and see what I can figure out. Does it have to be sweet or can it be nice and bone dry?
Bone dry Friesling.
Perfect.
Frosty drink.
Chillin' Blanc. Like, I love Chenin Blanc, guys. Just saying.
I love Chenin Blanc. I'm Muscadet Chenin Blanc. Those are the things I go for.
So, okay, let's back up a little bit. So Extra Fancy's been around, 7 years now?
7 years, yeah.
Yeah.
So, holy guacamole. Really?
Yeah. You didn't know that?
Yeah, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. I mean, the yard is insane. We've got all new benches out there. It's outside is a bar area. We're doing cornhole on Sunday. We have Wolfer is introducing their canned rosé cider.
Yeah.
Wolfer Estates. So they're doing... Thank you, Damon. They're coming in on Sunday, and we're having a big party to release that. And there'll be cornhole. There'll be a lot of fun cider, a lot of fun drinks. You know, got to hang out and drink crushing cans of cider. Who doesn't want to do that?
Nobody doesn't want to do that.
Let's
talk about Extra Fancy just a little bit.
Yeah. My experience with it.
You
so there,
used
I don't
to work
know.
There, yeah.
I did work there actually back
still
in the day.
His ding ding tattoo.
When I know. With all the greats, you know, Mark and Rob, the owners, ding ding. That was a lot of shots. It's two dings. So there's a bell system for whenever you walk into Extra Fancy. One ring is for friends, family, industry people to like, you know, it's
to embarrass you.
But it's a welcoming. Like you feel like a boss when you walk into Extra Fancy. And it's a crowded thing, and before the doors close behind you, the bell rings.
But so you haven't worked there. So here's the thing:
and I pulled one shift there.
Here's the thing: when you work there, it is literally like it is like the most pure example of Pavlovian response.
Oh yeah,
absolutely. So,
like,
absolutely.
You get very conditioned to like. You hear one bell, you look at the door.
Over. Like, who's that?
Like, if you're like standing at the end of the bar at the front door and you're talking with people, you're really engaged, you're like getting a food order from them, you know, like getting like fish and chips and a patty melt and blah, blah, blah. And then you hear two bells, you immediately, like, you will get scorned if you don't turn around and go to the other end, the service end of
you
the bar.
You drop everything you're doing. No matter where, you can be in the restroom, you got to stop and run to the bar.
And that's time to do a shot.
It's time to do a shot. You got because
little
somebody
staff
really.
Meeting.
Staff meeting. Staff meeting. It's always because it's somebody important. It's not just, I'm taking a shot with a friend. It's you have to come in and join this person and say, we appreciate you. We love you. We're doing this for you because here you are. Thank you for coming and joining us, and we love you.
That's a bartender built by. It's a bar built by bartenders.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
And it's like every part of it, like from like food service, like all the fun events and everything, which is something that I learned from Rob very quickly. He's like the master of just like doing branded events like all the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Kruger is a monster. Yeah.
So my first experience with it was when there used to be a garage next door, a motorcycle garage with a little shacky bar called the shop. Mm-hmm. And so whenever we would get out of... band practice, we'd go to the shop and hang out and like have some beers and some like I don't know, chili dogs or whatever they had, you know, whatever they had boiling in a crock pot at the time. And one day we were shooting like our first music video, my band, not the brothers, who does the song, the intro for this show.
Heard of them.
And Rob and Mark come over and like we're all outside with a bunch of motorcycles and band equipment and stuff and cameras. And they're like, "What are you doing here, Damon?" I was like, "Oh, shit. Like, what are you doing outside of employees only? You know, like, I never see you outside of that bar." And they're like, "We're building a bar." And I was like, "That's fucking great, man." Yeah. And like, there's like, because I knew they were going to do something awesome with it. And like, it's so community driven, you know, the like the neighborhood driven.
Yeah, rather, and, absolutely. And
industry driven. So like, it's always been like kind of like the Brooklyn clubhouse for like industry people.
No, absolutely.
And
I mean,
you've kept that going.
Yeah. And yeah. It's a place that when everybody knows I'm a Boston girl. I lived in Boston for 14 years and I started coming to Extra Fancy 2 years before I moved to New York. And it was always a bar that I said, "God, if I ever get the opportunity to work there, I'm absolutely taking it." And so when Trips, who just moved to Chicago recently, when he asked me if I would want to come on board, because I was sitting at the bar with him one night and I was like, "Oh man, I want an Extra Fancy shirt. How do I get one of those?" And he just like laughed and smiled and said, "I got you one." And 2 days later, I was like, "So you're gonna start next Monday?" And I was like, "Oh, what? Huh? Yes, absolutely." And I mean, it was just like the perfect place for me to finally land. I've wanted to work at Extra Fancy since before I moved here because coming from Boston, it was my favorite bar to go to, and I always made sure I was coming once every 6 months for a while, and then I started coming once a month. And every time I had a couple of days off in a row, I'd be like, "I want a bus to Extra Fancy straight from drink," you know? And it's where I've always loved being. The first time I got a ding was like the biggest moment of my life. Where I was like, I walked in and somebody knew me. Ah!
They rang the bell.
I've arrived.
It's a very special feeling.
It really
because
is.
Because it's like, it borders on aggressive.
Yeah.
Like how hard they ring the bell. It's not just a little dainty ding. It's like, ding!
Yeah.
You're here. I'm so excited you're here.
Well, you know, you can actually, like, from when I was working there, which was, while Grand Army was under construction, I wanted to work at a couple of different places because I'd been working at Prime East for like 9 years. So I needed to see how other people operated because I'd just known the same thing for almost a decade.
Sure.
So, well, one of the coolest things was everyone kind of has their own ding. Yeah, this is so stupid that we're talking about this, but that was nice. You got two in there.
Yeah, that was a quick two.
Yeah, very good. That's our engineer.
I got the magic fingers.
Totally doing some on the fly editing over here.
On the fly dinging.
We'll talk about that after the show.
It's probably an HR issue.
Probably. Yeah, there's a lot of that going around.
Oof. Ooh, yes, there is.
Unfortunately, but yeah. So like, there's like Greg Diamond would do this thing where he would take out his. His church gives back
still
pocket.
Oh, sure.
And still just go, does it.
Conk.
Yeah.
And just like
yeah.
hold it. So it's not like a ringing. It's like, ding. It's like, conk.
Yep.
So it's
like, I
it's
see you.
Truncated.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like that.
I think it stopped you, before Diamond. It started. Yeah, that bar.
Dave, oof. You can work at Extra Fancy.
You're hired.
I'll think about it.
A lot of great folks have come and gone through that bar.
True.
A lot of great times were had at that bar, are still had at that bar. Oh my God, that bar's great. I can't believe it's 7 years old. It's maintained that sort of like friendly, neighborhoody, but again, really industry driven.
I mean, one thing I will say is that like literally a few weeks ago, Greg and I were working the bar together and he and I got to talking about my friend who brought me there, Ryan, and part of the reason my rent house is there is because of Ryan, but he remembers the first time I came to that bar because I came in with a bunch of Boston people and a bunch of people that were from New York. And he was like, "I remember you." He's like, "Oh, you and all those Boston assholes." And I was like, "We can't help how we are." But the thing about the bartenders,
it's our nature.
It's our nature. I'm assholes. But the thing about the people who work there is that they genuinely do like what they're doing. They do respect the bar. They love everybody that comes in. And I have said a million times, so I could clone Greg Diamond 1,000 times. He would man every bar in the world and it would be the best thing in the world. The people who work there are so focused on hospitality and genuinely care about what they're doing and care about the guest interaction. And that's why, I mean, I came from a hospitality driven place in Boston. That's why I loved Extra Fancy so much.
Sure.
Because I genuinely felt welcomed there. And that's why when they offered me the job of running it, I said, like, of course, there's no way I would not do it because I want to work in a program that cares so much about every single person who walks through the door and still wants to like do quality cocktails and has really great food.
Totally.
And it's
the
a place
that's great there.
The food is really great there. Todd's doing a great job and the chefs in the kitchen, everybody who works there cares And we're all friends. We're family. It's an amazing spot.
I don't know if I've ever explained, if I've ever used this on this show before, but I'd say it like at the bar, like I call it freestyle hospitality. So it's not like by the books, like setting the table Danny Meyer kind of stuff. It's like just doing fun, quirky things that are just like really thoughtful for guests that like are just totally like off the wall. And like, I remember one time at the first bar that I ever worked at, we had those like paper doilies, like so you put it on your like B&B plates, and then you have like a bowl of soup. And like, I started like putting those down instead of coasters for my friends, just kind of giving them shit for being like, "Oh, you're fancy, like you're a coaster." But I'd always put their beers on a paper doily.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And it was just like, but they loved it, so I just had to keep doing it. But like, there's a lot of those kinds of things, like especially with the bell system and the disco ball and like all this stuff. It just like translates as kind of like freestyle hospitality, you know. So that being said, like when you were in Boston, you where all did you work in Boston?
Recently, the last bar I worked at in Boston, I was there for 1 year, separated for a year, and then came back for 2 years. Was Drink,
right? Which is like the world acclaimed like bar.
that's the bar of Boston.
It's the bar of Boston, yeah. And I was really lucky to work there with John Kirsten.
Nerdy-ass cocktail bar.
It is the nerdiest cocktail bar of Boston, but also it's the biggest party. The whole thing about Drink is like it seems like a buttoned-up cocktail bar, but at the end of the day, I mean, I was cutting ice and making penises out of ice and giving them to guests and making jokes. And like Ezra would like hollow out
Don
cucumbers.
Collins.
Don Collins, there you go. it was all about throwing a party and making sure everybody who came in, like we had no menu. So you walk in and already you're like nervous about being in a cocktail bar. And then you sit down and you're like, wait, this is just food and wine. I thought it was a cocktail bar. And so it was just asking questions and getting to know your guests and making them feel like it's okay. You can relax and chill out for a second and just tell me what you like. You like vodka soda? I'll make you a vodka soda and I'm not going to judge you. Or I'll introduce you to a Tom Collins and you can see what, you know, an old Tom Gin tastes like. Don Collins. We're going to keep, it's going to be.
Yeah, we're going to, it's the theme.
We're going to make one today.
Well, but the thing is, the coolest thing, I had the pleasure of being able to go to Drink a couple of times.
I got to make you drinks at Drink.
Indeed. So the cool thing is, it's like, it totally like levels out the playing field because you don't have a back bar.
Yeah.
So there's, it's not like this, like
you can't point and say, I want Maker's Mark, I want Jack Daniels. Cause all we ever said was we don't have that, but we have this instead. Yeah.
But it already jump starts the conversation between you and the guest.
Yeah.
And so that I find is really important. Like if I remember correctly, the only thing that's like really like back in the middle station is like a giant block of ice, right?
So when you walk in, there's a first station that has a giant block of ice. Yeah. The middle station, all you see is fruit. So you look over at these really cool antique punch bowls that are full of fruit. Mm. So that's just where we get all of our garnishes from. But literally, there is no booze on the bar anywhere. We have a set of antique cocktail books. So we have all these cool old books that, because it's a classic cocktail bar, we all dig through. Like one of the things I loved doing on my days off was I would go through those books and like pick out recipes and then change the measurements from a claret glass to an actual ounce measurement. And so I have a really weird Rolodex of classic cocktails in my brain because of spending so much time learning about all these old cocktails, all these old ingredients, like making gum arabic syrup. It really was going back to the age where you didn't have a lot of things available to you, and you had to learn exactly what product was handed to you and how to mix that well with everything else.
Yeah.
And that was
it's
one
funny
of those things.
That like, even back, like when you start looking, like thumbing through those old cocktail books, like the, like mixing like sweet and sour was kind of a new thing, basically, you know, it's really wild. I mean, you don't know anything about that, Southern, because you don't have any fruit in your bar, but
I've heard of it,
but yeah, I mean, I've read about it. But yeah, I think it's like the interesting thing with like where you came from and where you are now is that, and especially like given the fact that,
I only worked at Drink. I worked at beer bars.
No,
dive
I know.
Bars and
I know.
Clubs.
But just the two of those, like, I guess really what I'm saying, it's more of like a shout out to Extra Fancy. It's like you were saying, Souther, like there have been so many like amazing bartenders who've come through that place.
Yeah.
But it's been a party the entire time.
The whole
time. And so like, I wonder, like I've often wondered like what, like quote unquote, like civilians think when they go in that place and they see like all these bartenders having a great time, like, sometimes you got your shirt off, you know, or whatever. The disco ball's
sometimes
going.
You're throwing glasses at each other.
Throwing all kinds of shit at each other. But like, But I kind of just ruined what I was about to say. But these are like professional bartenders,
right? Right. I think your question gets answered by the track record. What does the civilian think of that? They fucking love it.
They love it.
They
yeah.
feel
yeah.
a part of it, and they keep coming back.
But
yeah.
you know
and
that
they,
like
they all want to get the bell. They all think, oh wow, this is so cool. Because when they hear the ding, you see people like stop and look around and go, what's going on?
How do
they
keep ringing like
Sharky?
The bell?
Sharky gets the bell.
Sharky gets the bell because Sharky's amazing. Everybody loves Sharky.
Yeah,
he's not a bartender. But, you know, Sharky's everybody's favorite regular. Yeah. And he's also one of the most amazing people to have a conversation with. He knows everything. He's like Sather, where you can have a conversation with him about any subject. And he has a really intelligent opinion about it. And will also tell you the history of why he got to that opinion.
Yeah.
That's
totally. And, you know, that's, again, though, like, it, you know, if someone came in from out of town, they have no idea where the hell they are. They just happen upon Extra Fancy and they see all this fun shit happening. And then they want to hear about the history of the Sazerac.
They can have that.
They can get that.
They can get that. Yeah.
Which is incredible.
Or if they want a Jimbo and a Narragansett, they can have that too.
Absolutely. You play some cornhole, have a froze, whatever you want, man.
Yeah.
It really fires on a lot of different cylinders.
And it meets all audiences face on.
Yeah. Totally, man.
Well, you can also, I know, go over there and you can eat 10 lobster rolls. You get a little stamp on your card, and then you get a free cup of coffee.
That's my favorite story.
We'll talk about that when we come back.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break.
From the show with Melly Wasserman. Melly Wasserma. I have to drop that. Thank you. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
She's her own. She's her own female. She's her own female. That's why I like her. I like her a lot. And she don't know that she's her own female. She's her own female. And she don't know. That's why I like her a lot. I caught a cab to the cafe to play the charming young man. That's when she told me, tie me up and cuff me to the window. You know how I like the riptide.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
And we are back. You're listening
super
to
awesome.
Heritage Radio Network. This is the speakeasy, I believe.
Off the air, Melly corrected me again. Your name is Wiersma.
Yeah. Dude, you... Okay. So how late was it when you put her number in your phone?
It was pretty late.
I mean, it's been in there for years. Right. Well. Wiersma. I had it as Wasserman, which was wrong. Then I have it as Wasserma, also wrong.
I had friends...
You waited till we were off the air to correct me.
Hey, that's very,
to be
very
nice. Fair, in my 30s, and Wiersma. I had a friend who didn't know... that I grew up with, that I've known since the sixth grade, who didn't know until 2 years ago that my last name wasn't Wiersman. We graduated That's high weird, school man. Together. We've known each other for a real long time.
That's weird, man.
Not as good as my Yale.
Jesus, this is a fucking circus these days. Man, okay. Dave, I really love your Foley art. Keep it going.
Yeah, you're killing it.
killing it.
Okay, but so. Same diff. So now you get to work at this crazy, awesome place that's so much fun. Anybody listening who hasn't been to Extra Fancy and have been close enough to go, you're doing it wrong. You got to go over there.
It's the best place to meet other bartenders.
It absolutely is. Yeah, if you want to get a job someplace, you should go hang out at Extra Fancy because you will meet people.
Yeah.
And we're talking about like one of the greatest things is like I have people from Michelin-starred restaurants down to the diviest dive bars sitting next to each other, sharing beers, sharing shots, becoming friends. Yeah. It's one of the spots where I think it was this last weekend. It was really, really quiet. I was working with Charlie, and I looked over at the bar, and I was like, every single one of those people is a bartender. And the dining room was empty. It was just the bar that was full. And I was like, this is why everybody is in such a good mood at all times. Like, we could be having the worst day ever, but you come into work, and you're getting hugged by every single person who walks into the bar.
Right, hugs and high fives all
day. Hugs and high fives all day. Like, that's all you want.
Every single person. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's super unique. It's like, I think, what a lot of people strive to do, you know? But actually, if you want to go a little, like, serious for a second, how being in a management position, how do you kind of control the situation where, like, maybe there's too many buybacks or, like, comping, stuff like that?
What's really amazing about that is that everybody who works there are super honest, yeah, and we don't go crazy. It's not a kind of bar where you're expecting to come in and have your tab be zero. You're, yeah, expecting to pay for it, and that's what the whole ding-ding is about.
Yeah.
These little, like, shot glasses that we pass out with each other, we all buy back properly. Everybody's, mm-hmm, really honest. And like I said, it's a really good crew. It's a really honest team. And because everybody's got these really cool backgrounds of working at Employees Only, working at Maison Premier, you know, I came from Drink. Everybody works. We have people at George Washington Bar. These are people who work at really high-class, high-profile bars. You don't really have a buyback there. So when you have the opportunity to actually buy a couple things for your friends, yeah, you're super honest about it. Like, it's not an expensive bar. We, no, have a really good cocktail program, but our cocktails are, like, coming in at, like, $12, $13, not $18 to $20.
Sure.
So when people do come in to drink, bartenders come in and drink beer. We're talking about, like, a $6 beer and shot.
You're totally
combo,
right.
You know?
That is a thing. I mean, like, or, like, you know, you got Brett McDonald coming in and drinking vodka Sprites.
Yeah.
or ciders or whatever, you know? And, no, but that was something I noticed.
I'm going to set us up for this drink you,
yeah,
bought.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of buying us drinks, you brought us drinks.
Yeah, seriously. Sometimes when I was working there, like with like Greg and Danny and all those guys, we would bring in, like, we would just bring a bottle. We'd buy a bottle of booze or bring something from home.
Yeah.
And that was our ding-ding.
I mean, know, I've, like, done that at the restaurant I opened in Boston, Bronwyn. I brought all these schnapps over from Germany, and my schnapps that were my personal home bar schnapps ended up being the things that friends and family I gave away. And I was like, this is a lot of money that, yeah, I'm giving away, but I don't care. I'm, yeah, sharing something really cool and historic with you and something that I care about. Yeah. And speaking of, yeah, I'm sharing something. It's called, it's a cocktail that I was lucky enough. My friend, Misty Kakofen and Chris Naman, have a cocktail book coming out called Drinking Like Ladies. And so I made a cocktail called the Niña Brava, which is means brave lady, translate over. There's a wonderful woman whose name I just forgot because I'm scared and nervous being here with you guys.
Why?
Because I'm nervous about everything
all
the time.
Is it because we took our shirts off
on
the
break? It is.
Muscle Shirt Monday.
Muscle Shirt Mondays. So this cocktail is something I made for her, which is mezcal, particularly Del Maguey Vida for Misty. Then I also used a little Dolan Dry Vermouth, some Chinar, and a little touch of Saint Germain. Oh, thank you.
Dave, I got one for you.
And
tight.
Kristen Ward, thank you. I got there. She has she was the first openly transgendered woman, and she was in the Navy SEALs. And as we all know, that's got to be a huge deal because, yeah, it's gays and anybody of in coming out in the military has always been a huge deal. But, sure, so to be an openly transgendered woman in the Navy SEALs is a huge thing to do. So the whole book is about saluting women in history that have done something great that are lesser known. And her book is, her documentary, I should say, is Lady Valor. And I think everybody should go out and watch it. Everybody should buy this book because it's saluting female bartenders who are then in turn saluting women who've done something really great. And especially with everything we've talked earlier today about, we think about the Me Too campaign and about women just trying to have a voice and find a voice. This is a book that is giving women voices.
Name of the book again?
Drinking Like Ladies.
Drinking Like Ladies.
It's on pre-order right now on Amazon. I'm not sure exactly when it's going to come out, but I mean, buy a copy. It's got some of your favorite bartenders in there.
We'll make sure we put a link in the show notes.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. I know a lot of New York bartenders are involved in it, a lot of Boston bartenders, but it's global. And so it's also saluting women globally. It's not just focusing on America. So it's definitely something that I think everybody should... You get a little brief history of strong women. Very and cool. Then it's, again, strong women bartenders
How did you get involved with that?
Misty and I have been friends since I first started working at Drink. She's a mentor
of mine.
She's
awesome.
She is so awesome. I've known Kitty and Misty for, God, going on 6-7 years now. That's and thank you. I'm glad you enjoy it. It needs a little grapefruit twist. I forgot to bring that with me, but hey... It's a cocktail.
Don't ever tell me what that's missing. My grandmother used to do that. She would always say, well, it's not the best whatever pound cake I've ever made.
Well, that's just because.
Where do you do all your best
like,
stuff?
Oh, no, so
it's
grandma so
from
good.
The Midwest. I would say, like, what do you do? My parents being from the Midwest that I do that.
I would say, well, what do you do with all the best stuff? Why don't I ever get that?
I mean, that's for the guests. That's for the people who come into the house that she doesn't already know. She's just testing things on you.
No, I'm from the deep, deep south.
Oh, that's right. We've talked about this.
This is delicious. Okay, back to how did you get involved with the project? So Misty's one of the writers, one of the main authors.
Misty and Kristen Amon are the main authors.
Okay.
And I was hanging out at home one day, just like doing laundry, doing nothing. And I got this text from Misty just saying, hey, I have this book coming out. I'd really love for you to contribute. I literally burst into tears just because I was so honored. And then when she was like, this is the person you're going to be honoring. Can you build a cocktail for her? I lost it.
Oh, they chose your... Oh, that's kind of
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, they reached out to individual ladies and asked them to contribute. And
but, so, I mean, they chose the woman for you to form
they chose
your
the woman for us to also... Yeah. And I like
I guess
to
that
think...
that makes sense.
Yeah. I would say the reason that she, I think, chose me is because I've been an ally for years. I started doing volunteer work with AIDS Walk when I was 12. And I've marched in Pride in California and Boston and here in New York. And I missed the opportunity. I had been planning something with the Allie Norrie House for You for Coup. And so most of my friends
It'll still
are,
come up.
We'll
still
something.
Doing stuff.
We'll do something. But most of my friends are gay or transgendered, you know, and have been for most of my life. And it's just something that I've always felt strongly like human rights are really important, and especially rights where it's just you should love who you're allowed to love and never be told you can't love somebody. So I'm really proud that I was living in Boston when gay marriage became legal. And it's just such an honor to have been able to make a cocktail for this woman and, you know, for her to have a voice. And
Red.
I'm really glad that Misty and Kristen and Kitty. It's like calling me Melissa.
Kitty.
Yeah, Kitty. Chose the people that they chose because it's the book and the layout is absolutely stunningly beautiful. I would say that's actually oddly like a similar sort of motif as yours. Competition.
Similar motif?
A high tide raises.
Pre-order on Amazon? I'm not sure when they're coming out?
No, I know when mine's
coming
out.
We got a bingo in here.
Mine drops on August 28th. That's always been the date.
I did add to your pre-order list, so you're in my pre-order as well. I've got two books coming at some point in the future.
Cha-ching!
I'm expecting a free copy.
You're getting a free copy.
No, I'm going
to
buy some.
I'm going to mail it to the Speakeasy Radio.
Perfect.
With your name on it. It'll be in a stack over there. Yeah.
You guys should do a late addition to the book with Michelle Wolf, a cocktail.
It's oh, yes. Yeah. Absolutely. She is a hero.
Yeah, she killed it.
She really did. That was such a cool... My friend Brendan was over the other day, and I was just getting ready to leave the house with him, and he was playing that, and while my mouth was agape, I was also just laughing hysterically. Like, how brave of that. Like, to go to the correspondents at dinner and just say, like, I'm going to rip apart everybody and say what everybody is thinking.
Yeah, she's just the only one there who told the truth.
Exactly. I was proud. Yeah. I was proud for a woman. I was proud for comedians. Like, that was just really cool of her to actually be willing to do that.
Yeah. Well, you know, even if you're the most horrible person on earth, if you can't laugh at yourself, then something's wrong with you.
Fairly certain we know somebody who can't laugh at himself, right?
Yeah.
That's probably real.
The guy who won't even show up at the dinner.
Yep, exactly.
2 years running. Fucking Ronald Reagan called in after he'd been shot. No. He still appeared by phone, at least.
Jeez. Oh, man. Well, okay.
Well, that sounds like a really cool project. Yeah. And again, we'll make sure we get a link on the show notes to get your book
out
there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll forward everything I can to you guys. I mean, Misty and Kitty are just two of the most amazing women. I think both of them were honored at Tales this year, right? Didn't Misty win and Kitty was honored?
Misty won.
Misty won, yeah.
Either way,
both of them are two of, like, yeah. I mean, Kitty has been such a phenomenal inspiration to women everywhere. Where she was doing yoga classes specifically for bartenders in Boston before anybody was thinking about how bartenders don't exercise enough and how we don't take care of ourselves and we're destroying our bodies constantly because we're always on our feet. My knees are a mess. My ankles are a mess. My shoulders are always constantly like, you need a massage because I'm shaking out the thing. And just we all hold our stress in a place.
Yeah.
But Kitty has been always, when she was doing Fernet years and years ago, was still really active and saying, hey guys, we shouldn't just be drinking all the time. We should be doing fun things, which is one of the cool things that I would say about like Fernet and St. Germain with the bikes. Yeah, it's really cool. We all want a branded bike, but it's also encouraging you to get on a bike
totally.
And exercise and take care of yourself. And I think that Kitty was one of the people who like really was groundbreaking and getting people inspired to actually take better care of themselves. And I'm impressed by like, I know Channing and Marlo and Sarah with St. Germain are doing all of those classes to actively get bartenders exercising. Because we all forget. We want to sleep until 1 o'clock in the afternoon and then go to work and then party afterwards. Yeah. You got to take
Brooklyn
care of your
Jen
body.
Brooklyn Jen does yoga classes as well. There's like I think there's a lot of there's a lot more like focus on health and wellness in the industry these days, which is really cool.
Which
like
is
the
really
whole
cool.
earn your booze.
Like, yeah, well, and also not just earn your booze, but like, I mean, we're talking about like sober bartenders now as well. And I think that it's really inspiring to see people who realize they've had problems and that the support that we're giving to each other in that it's like, yeah, you can still party, you can still have fun because you're still the same person. You don't have to drink. You can hang out and still be you and still have an incredible palate without the party.
Yeah. I know a couple of bartenders or industry people in general that have recently decided to stop drinking. And it wasn't because necessarily that they
had a problem.
They were just like, you know what?
I don't like it.
It's like, not that they don't like it. They're just like, I don't really need it.
Somewhat unnecessary.
Yeah.
You know? Like tasting is different than drinking.
Absolutely. Yeah. Jan Warren.
You got to taste.
Yeah.
Jan Warren comes right to mind.
Yeah.
Like that guy functions better, operates better, is a monster because he just tastes drinks. He doesn't drink drinks.
Yeah. But then again, Joanna Carpenter, who also works for Brooklyn Gin, she never seemed to have a problem with anything like that. She was just like, you know what? I just want to focus on like being healthy right now.
Yeah.
Sure.
And like working out and like doing stuff. Like, and that's totally freaking cool, man. I mean, like, it's all cool. I ride motorcycles because, you know what? I don't like to drink and drive. I can't drink when I do it.
Yep. Yeah.
So like the whole like ride that's happening from like Chicago down to Tails this year, it's like Sean Kenyon.
Are you going
to
do it?
Yeah. I mean like, yeah, I'm planning
that's
on
awesome.
It. Unless we're driving that slow and low van. But either way, it's like a thing. It's an activity where you come together with people in the industry that is something where you're like, all right, this does not involve drinking.
Yeah.
You know?
I've been talking about friends about planning a trip to, I mean, I thought it was gonna be whitewater rafting, but in the summer, apparently there's no whitewater, but doing like a tubing trip and just going canoeing and hanging out. And the whole idea was, can we invite people who don't drink too much so we can all just hang out and have a nice time and enjoy nature and go hiking and backpacking? And like, we don't need to be carrying around a 12 pack of beer to do that. Like, let's just go out and do nature. And I think that in general, it's not even just in our industry. I think the world is changing a bit and saying to not drink in excess and just kind of enjoy yourselves. Like, yeah, have fun, do it. But also, like, stop and smell the roses. Enjoy the world around you.
Rock climbing is another one that a lot of people in the industry do.
That scares the hell out of me.
I can't do that. I'm scared as fuck. I'm like, I have vertigo, so, like, I can't.
When I got vertigo, it was real bad. I was down for a week. It was the worst experience I've ever had in my entire life.
It's been years for me.
Oh, man, I can't imagine living with that.
But the thing is, like, it's like, you don't want to be drinking and climbing rocks.
No.
Yeah. But
sheer faces of 40 feet.
Yeah.
No.
No way, man. I have nightmares about that all the time. But Yeah, you're right. I mean, like if you look at the numbers, just on the business side, like from like the spirits side of the industry, sales have shifted from like excessive, like kind of like bottom shelf to like more craft brands. But at the same time, sales have kind of slowed down even there. I mean, like I know that looking at the numbers, like gin sales were up like 47% over last year. That's insane.
Yeah.
That's an insane jump.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then, like, Mezcal was around the same. I think just a little bit higher, like 49%.
Yeah.
Which is fucking
everybody loves Mezcal insane. Right now. It is the hot, hot, hot item.
Yeah. Mezcal and gin, for some reason, that you like, it's come back.
Well,
but
they
I think
good.
So, people are just into, like, really clean, like, kind of interesting, like, earthy spirits. But the thing is, it's not that necessarily
sales are up, but consumption is leveled
up. Consumption is leveled out. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, where I could buy $10 worth of beer, which is a lot of beer.
Yes.
Or $10 worth of gin. I'm spending my money on the gin. I'm not drinking as much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what's happening with the consumer.
People, running a bar, people are more interested in low ABV.
A lot of low ABV stuff.
People are super into low ABV right now. Like, I have guests who come to me and say, what do you got that's low ABV? And I'm like, I run an extra fancy. It's beer and shots. Okay. I know how to make things like that.
Yeah.
We have an amazing back bar of all of these cool Amaros and all of these good, like I was saying earlier.
You have a spritz menu. Yeah.
We have a spritz menu. And the spritz menu is like pairing all these low ABV things with champagne and soda water and just making people things that you can drink three of and not be drunk. And you can go out your day after brunch or being in the sunshine all day. And like, I worked on the roof two summers in a row. You don't want to drink a vodka soda on the roof. Really, you want to, but you don't. What you want is a spritz. An Aperol spritz is absolutely the way to go because you're drinking sparkling wine and a low ABV, you know, liqueur. And that's what you should be doing. Like aperitifs, and that's the way to go because you can actually crush them and not hurt yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah, you crush them, not the other way around.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
They don't crush you.
You see a lot more like even like in the martini realm, you're seeing a lot more 50-50s, and also in, we talked about it on the show, I think, a couple weeks ago, like inverted martinis, like in Manhattans, you know, where you do
it. Isn't it employees only that does that was, the inverted Martinez, where it's the Martinez is mostly vermouth and a little bit of
like the
gin?
Original recipe.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally, and I love that version.
So good.
But
so
also,
delicious.
Yeah, you're right, like the, like, sherry and soda or sherry tonic, like that kind of stuff.
Oh,
like,
the sherry tonic at a Go-To is amazing.
Yeah.
Wait, am I not? Am I Go-To. Go-To. Oh, I said it wrong.
That's what's your go-to when you go to Go-To.
That's how I tell people to remember it. Go-To, Go-To.
When you go-to, Go-To.
Sorry. Sorry.
But yeah, I mean, like, I love that mentality where it's like, all right, it's, we're going to be in it for the duration and we're going to like really like feel good the entire time, you know?
Right, find that plateau and level off instead of constantly climbing and then an eventual
crash. Like we're not frat boys. Like we don't need to get wasted every night. It's nice to just like be able to relax and enjoy and appreciate what you're drinking.
Totally. On that note, let's have another shot. I'm kidding. I think it's. I have to say it every week almost because it's true. It's like we're living in the most interesting time for drinks and spirits and food. You know?
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
Like, because it changes every week. It just gets better, I think.
Yeah.
And, I just love it when, especially, you know, when someone comes in, like you said, like they ask for something that's low ABV. I'm like, thank you.
Yeah.
You're going to be here for a while hanging out. Like, obviously, you're a kind of a smart person.
Yeah. I mean, like, speaking of like food and drink, when people come in and ask for mocktails, and are like, or like when you have that pregnant woman whisper to you, I don't want my friends to know I'm pregnant because I haven't told anybody yet, but can you make me something that looks like a cocktail?
Sure.
And you spend the entire night making her really cool, different colored drinks that is just different simple syrups. And just different juices, and she feels like she's still part of the party, even though she's not drinking with people. Like, that's cool. Yeah, that's one of the best things about being a bartender is, like, making somebody's day.
And then you got things like Seedlip, you know, the distilled non-alcoholic spirit.
Yeah.
And I've never even heard of this.
You should get some.
Yeah. Yeah,
because
for sure.
What you just said made me think of it. Seedlip came out because of the notion of mocktails being basically just sugar, syrups, like you said, and juice, which is sugar, right, with maybe some soda, which is probably sugar, right? So Seedlip came out to bolster those cocktails with a component that's got a lot of flavor but isn't sweet.
Oh, that's amazing.
Stirred cocktails.
I mean, Rafa, who I used to work with, I had one day I was watching him making mocktails, and he was making a stirred mocktail. It was an old fashioned. He was making somebody an old fashioned. He's like, well, I use some iced tea and I use some of this and I use some of that. I'm like, what? My mind was completely blown because he was giving this person an old fashioned that had no alcohol in it whatsoever. And it was this beautiful drink that he was just creative enough to figure out a bunch of different teas and a bunch of different like shrubs and syrups that we had hanging out at Covina and put together this beautiful non-alcoholic cocktail for somebody whose day was just made because he didn't want his friends to know he wasn't drinking.
Right.
You know? And it was perfect. Like Rafa went out above and beyond to make something that looked like alcohol that still tasted good more than anything else. It was a mocktail that tasted good. Sure. And it's not just sugar, like you were just saying. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges as a bartender is being able to be creative enough to make something that's not just the spirits.
San Pellegrino has San Bitter. You get that? You just put it over a big rock.
That's so good.
You got a Negroni. Or a Fogroni. I mean, it's basically what it is. I mean, it's kind of like it's an Americano / Negroni kind of vibe.
Yeah.
And it looks like that and it tastes like it pretty much. I mean, and
that's awesome.
People are like, even if someone grabbed that from you and they were like, can I taste your drink?
You'd
and
be like, sure.
You're like, yeah, sure. And they taste it and they're like, oh, that's really good. Can I get one of those?
Sure.
Yeah. Can I get a Negroni for my friend?
You know. Well, you're a delight. We've really enjoyed having you on the show today.
Thanks for coming on.
Wrap it up.
I'd love that you were like,
holy monster.
I love that you were saying before the show that you're nervous about being on here, but you're a complete natural. You can't really be a bartender
and not know how to talk.
And not know how to talk to people. I mean, like, that's what works with this show, you know?
I think he was asking us for a shot.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Jesus. See, it's been a while since I went to that fancy.
I don't know what happened there.
My Pavlovian response is not really like firing. But yeah, sure. We should do that on the way out of here.
We will.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Oh, absolutely. It was a lot of fun.
Shoot, I lost my. Where is today? Okay, I'm looking at my calendar. Coming up, episodes include, but aren't limited to, Ann Peck Davis. She's got a new book out that sounds pretty cool. We're going to talk about that. Will Elliott from Sauvage and Maison Premier.
Oh, yeah, it's been a while since he's been on the show.
Yeah, been a long time. I saw him at that dinner, and I was like, hey, you should come be on the show. Lauren Myerskoff coming up from New Orleans. Julie Reiner said she'd do the show with us. We got Eric Metzger, photographer from my book. He's actually going to come next week. I'll give you the heads up. Dress nice because he's going to take some portrait photos of you and I.
What? I mean,
you always dress nice.
I have to put a shirt on?
Yeah, what are you trying to say?
You always dress nice, but then the
I'll put my shirt back on.
Then the one time I don't tell you to dress nice, you show up looking like a dirtbag.
I'll probably still be wearing my seersucker from Derby Day.
Oh, yeah.
Well, speaking of Derby Day, we're doing a Derby Day party on Saturday. And we're also doing a Cinco de Mayo party. So, kind of.
It's a big weekend, man.
Tequila juleps.
It's a big weekend of extra fancy. We're going to have some
tequila juleps all around. Mezcal juleps.
The patio is going to be open. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we're having all of the spirits and all of the beers and then all of the fucking cider rosé. Oh, I just swore.
You swear all you want.
It's fucking fine.
Yeah, it's the fucking internet.
A lot of talk. It's the fucking internet. Yeah. It kind of feels like this Saturday, which is actually, now, I got to say, it's the Derby. It's
Cinco
de Mayo.
Most exciting 2 minutes in sports.
It's also, technically, Grand Army's
birthday. That's right.
Birthday, their third anniversary. But we're not doing our anniversary party that day.
Perfect.
Because it's also a Saturday. That's four things in a row.
Yeah, that's
one day. It kind of feels like having to hit up a bunch of like New Year's Eve parties.
Yeah, it's too much. I wish, you know, kind of, wish like, it was more spread out.
Yeah, it's like a seersucker, sombrero.
I don't know what this is.
I don't know either.
Is this like the wrap it up music?
It's a happy birthday. It's a happy birthday.
And I want to thank God. Number one. Yeah. But yeah, so kind of swing by, put on your seersucker and your sombrero and swing by Extra Fancy.
And Grand Army.
All the places.
You can swing by more. We do the no mint julep.
The no mint.
That's 50-50 bourbon and bronca menta over crushed ice.
Perfect.
Boom. Okay.
Perfect for swinging all weekend.
The one day of the year we serve drinks on crushed ice.
Oh, my God.
And I'll have the Derby playing on the radio for that 2 minutes.
Very nice. Well, cool. Yeah, so everyone go check out Millie and all the rest of the crew over at Extra Fancy. You will not have a bad time, that's for sure. Yeah. I guess that's it for this week, huh?
That's it for this week.
Thanks again, Millie, for coming on the show today.
Thank you guys so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
And I guess we should do a dinger.
I'll pour one. Dave, get your glass in here. Take us out, Damon.
Wait, do we have anything? Can we use that? Do we have any sort of things to ding with?
Oh, we can. I'm sure these things.
What do you guys need more glassware?
No, we're good. Anyway, take us out, Damon.
All right, that's it for the show this week. Check out Heritage Radio Network for many other programs like this one. If you go to the website, heritageradionetwork.org. Thanks, man. You can go to the top corner and click on the beating heart so you can donate to the station, to us. Keep us keeping on with some good radio. It's good times. And
think of it as buying us a drink.
Yeah. Hey. No.
think of it as tipping us.
There you go.
Ding, ding, ding.
Always all right.
Speak it up. Ding, ding. All right, that's it. Cheers. Till
next
everybody.
Week. Thank you so much.
Ding, ding. So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil runs his groove in them rhythm and blues. That's him. It's gonna get you some.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.